Welcome, everyone, to Of Mice and Giant Robots, a look into animation's past, future, and present. I am your host, Thomas Mattis, and this is not your typical podcast that you might be listening to. There are so many podcasts out there, and most of them are very comic-based and are there to provide you entertainment, comedy. A lot of them are reviews that are to, pass judgment on something, usually of the entertainment property, movies, video games, anime. As usual, I do myself in Tom's Prerogative, which you can find on this same site. But this is something different. This is an informative look into animation. This was very much inspired by what Lewis Lovehog is doing over on That Guy with Glasses. Of course, Lewis is better known as Linkara, and the show that I'm talking about that he does is History of the Power Rangers, which, while objective, does provide a lot of facts and really does a wonderful job in filling people in on what the history of Power Rangers is. So I was inspired by that, and to use that sort of template to do my own show about animation, because in all honesty, it's surprisingly hard to find out about the history of animation. Because outside of maybe going talking about Walt Disney, most kids these days don't know about things like the Fleischers and sort of the early animators, not just in Japan, but in America and around the world. We tend to have sort of this limited view of animation just either being in, America and Japan, yet Americans, animation is made all over the world. And there's just a rich history to animation, and there's a lot of misnomers about animation, but more importantly, is going to be also where I pass on a theory that I've come up with about animation. Some people may have heard me talking minor about another podcast, but I have a theory. I call it the Walt Disney theory of animation categorization. Obviously naming it after Walt Disney, but that's because I feel that he was really the man that was really the first one to go outside his own artistic range and try other artistic styles, which is what animation categorization really is. It's basically the theory of animation styles. And with that being said, let me tell you what the theory is. The theory is that there are three core disciplines or techniques of animation. And move on from that. So, before I get too far into that, basically, here's how this introductory episode is going to go. I'm going to go over what the theory is. I'm then going to go into sort of why, differences among the styles and that stuff. I'm going to go briefly into history and briefly into what we're going to be talking about as far as, when it comes to later on what we're going to be doing in this series, which is talking about how, as fans, we're influenced by what we like and what we watch. And that's really the three core principles of what I want to do with the show. Again, matching sort of numeral themes. I want to talk about the past. I want to talk about how we got to this point, animation-wise, through our animated history, how animation's been a key part of Hollywood and the entertainment industry around the world, and, how the different styles came to be, how we are at the present, which has come to this theory, what each style represents. With that being said, that means that we're not just going to be talking about anime. We're going to be talking about cartoons. We're going to be talking about different types of animation styles. And more importantly, when I talk about future, I'm talking about, you know, looking forward to how are we going to accept animation. And again, a large part of that is, as an animation fan, I've been, or should say anime fan, you know, I've experienced sort of the criticism, or should say unfound criticism, and sort of, you know, there's really not a word for it other than really just hate for certain types of anime being described as, oh, this is what anime is. And here's the deal. I've heard so many friends say, well, you can't blame people for thinking that. I'm like, well, yes, I can. I can blame somebody for making a blanket statement about something when they know nothing about it. You know, when the only thing they've heard is from people who aren't anime fans, and then I sit there and try to teach them the truth, and they don't accept it because their pride gets in the way, yes, I can blame them for not accepting what the truth is. You know, this idea that, well, people have the right to be blinded from the truth and to be, you know, be ignorant when the facts are put in front of them is really ridiculous. If the facts are put in front of you, you know, those are the facts. You may hate that, you know, that the facts that were given to you before were different because we didn't know as much as we do now, but thanks to things like the internet, we can learn. And really, that's what I want to do. It's not to criticize anybody. It's not to say that anybody is bad or horrible for having personal opinions and personal views about individual animes. It's about teaching. It's about going, teaching the history, teaching where we are now, and teaching, you know, these are where, you know, these animations that we watch, this is where they come from, and this is why they're doing this. This is what it represents. This is the artistic purpose. You know, a individual that I look up to very much and respect is John Oppenzer of Animation. He does a column called Ask John. And he always talks about how, you know, animation, anime, is a commercial art. And how much we forget that there's a commercial part of animation around the world. Well, at the same point in time, I would also argue that we often forget about the artistic part of animation as well. And we are so blinded, we act like everything's so simple, we're so blinded to what the artist is trying to portray, we act like these are just simple, you know, Looney Tune cartoons we're watching, when a lot of this stuff is a whole lot more advanced and a whole lot more deeper than that. So, with that being said, let me go back to what is the Walt Disney theory of animation categorization. The Walt Disney theory of animation categorization, again, says there are three core principles or disciplines. Those core principles, disciplines, or should I say techniques, in this case, because really that's what they are techniques, are stop-motion live-action, traditional hand-drawn, and modern CGI. Now, let's go into each one of those individually. With stop-motion live-action, it's basically anything that is used within live-action that, you know, it's not put onto a piece of paper. There is actual physical items being used. Traditional hand-drawn is, again, traditionally, you know, the traditional style of drawing something on a piece of paper, drawing it over and over, but changing it slightly so it when you, like, put a lot of them together and flip through them, they form an image. And modern CGI is, you know, basically what the same thing traditional hand-drawn is, but it's done on computers using CGI models. Now, within each of these three techniques, you know, and I'm going off sort of rough description here of the techniques, but because I'll get into them more deeply into a second, but within each of these techniques are individual styles of animation. For instance, with stop motion live action, you know, you have the dolls style. You know, example of this would be Nightmare Before Christmas, Coraline, The Corpse Bride, Robot Chicken. You have the claymation style, things like Gumby. I'm trying to, you know, again, Robot Chicken also uses the claymation style. You know, the Raisinette cartoons. You know, and then there's a sort of third style that I put that's really more along the lines. It's, you know, pretty much everything else. South Park would fall into that category, that style, because really that's what it is. It started off as pieces of, and you look at the opening of South Park, which is how they first started doing it, you know, that's what South Park is. And even though they do it now on computers, it's still following those basic principles of sort of cutting a piece of paper, putting it together, deformed shapes and that stuff, and then using stop motion to do them. Within the traditional hand-drawn technique, you have cartoon, you have anime, and then you have what I call fusion. And then within the modern CGI, you have realistic, which would be things like Shrek, Finding Nemo, Cars, trying to think off the top of my head, something that's coming out very in the near future, Arthur Christmas. You know, those would be realistic anime. Monsters versus Aliens, just Puss in Boots. And then there's photorealistic. And photorealistic, you know, we'll get into the differences between them in a little bit. But, you know, photorealistic would be things like Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, Tekken, Blood Vengeance, Renaissance, which is especially something that I know people have never heard of, unless you have, like, or should say you watch, like, flicks and movie flicks channels, on your TV. Renaissance is a French CG film. So, when each of these techniques are individual styles, and those are the styles. Now, again, going back to stop-motion live-action, what makes something stop-motion live-action? It's about frame rate. You know, stop-motion live-action uses they more spaced frame rate. There's less keyframes. You know, it creates the jagged movement that you would see in stop-motion. And I might be switching it up, so I apologize. Sometimes I get sort of what the key frame rate is, but if I'm remembering right, which doesn't make me look good, but, you know, the key frame rate is farther spaced together, whereas, you know, with traditional hand-drawn and modern CGI, the frame, you know, there are more key frames, which creates a more smoother movement. You know, but, you know, stop motion live action, less keyframes, more spaced apart, creates more of a jagged motion that you would see with, you know, the dolls and claymation and the other stuff. Mind you, another series, well, I was about to say series, but also things that fall into the stop motion live action are things that people don't think about. King Kong, as in the original King Kong movie and the Harryhausen films, would fall into the stop-motion live-action, because that's the whole point. it's shot on a regular camera, you know, but you have 3D items that are used to represent characters, whether they be dolls or such. And that's what King Kong was. King Kong was really the first green screen to an extent when you think about it. Very primitive form of it, at least, but the King Kong monster was, you know, a doll. It was a mannequin, something that was built and moved frame by frame. Same thing with the Harryhausen films. The monsters were made, and then they were moved frame by frame. Same thing here. That's what they do with Nightmare Before Christmas. They made the dolls. The faces were magnetic, so they could take the smile off and change some facial expressions. And, you know, they would move it frame by frame. Same thing with Robot Chicken. And the Rankin-Bass Christmas films that we all love. You know, again, same thing with South Park and Robot Chicken, Gumby, Wallace and Gromit, Chicken Run. I think Flush Away was CGI, but if it was made to assemble, you know, sort of the Wallace and Gromit type stuff. But you get the point I'm trying to say, you know, keyframed. They're actual items, living items, you know, that you could pick up and move around, and you shoot it frame by frame. Now, with the traditional hand-drawn, again, I said there was cartoon, fusion, and anime. Cartoon is, you know, sort of really what the first traditional hand-drawn animation was. Cartoons, if they had to fall into a category of sort of like art, they would be surrealism. You know, they're very basic shapes, basic principles. You know, the story is very simple. Overall, cartoons are simple, yet very surreal. You know, it's why most cartoons are comedies, because they're simple and to the point, and yet you can use different shapes to tell different things. It's not about being realistic. The more realistic you are, the more it takes away from what the cartoon is trying to do. But again, basic shapes of the story concept in a cartoon, I don't want to say it's not important, because it is important. But, you know, in a cartoon, you know, for instance, it always comes back to the beginning, you know. For instance, in an episode of Family Guy, you know, whatever happens, you know, by the end of the episode, they're basically right back to where they started to at the beginning. You know, there's no sort of progression of the story in a major way. There might be minor progressions as seasons go on, but, like, for instance, if you look at The Simpsons haven't changed much. You know, Bart's still in I never watched The Simpsons, to be honest, but, you know, if he's not in elementary school, he may have been in middle school, but he's not going to high school yet. You know, The Simpsons has been on for 14 freaking years. He should be out of college with a girlfriend and kids of his own by now. But, you know, the story progression in a cartoon is very limited. Each episode has a starting point, and by the end of the episode, it comes back to the starting point. Animation-wise, it's very simple shapes, very simple design. It's not detailed. You know, almost to an extent, cartoon animation is, I don't want to say this because I think it might be offensive to say, but it's very glip. It's easy to make glyphs out of animation from a cartoon. I mean, how many times have you gone on a forum and you've seen, a 3-second clip from Family Guy of Stewie shooting a gun? I remember I was on a forum recently and I saw somebody had a glyph in as their sort of avatar of the dance scene, if you remember the episode where Stewie has his sexy party and the girl's all in lingerie, And it's them doing a dance and going over and over and over again. And that's the whole point of cartoons, is that it's short animation, it's can be easily played over and over again. Again, very simple, but surrealist. Anime is more realistic, which is probably the most plain way to put it, but it's realism, it's to put it into an art style. Anime is more detailed in every possible way, in both animation and in story. The stories have movement. You know, by the end of the season and series, you know, you're completely different from where you started the series from. Every episode, you know, while there may not, there are filler episodes that, in one way or another, every episode moves the story forward. Whether it be some actual context to the story moving forward, or whether it be something like a filler episode where it gives you character development. You know, the, again, like I said, the animation is a whole lot more detailed in everything from character designs to the backgrounds. And moving on to Fusion, you know, Fusion is the category of traditional hand-drawn that sort of falls in between cartoon and anime. But the reason I call it Fusion is because it's not, these shows don't feel like, you know, things like, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It feels like they have different parts of each category, and they don't fit into either one because they've taken those parts and they've fused them together. There's parts of it that are very toon-like, but there are parts of it that are very anime-like. They don't fit into either category, but they belong in that place. A perfect example of this would be Yu-Gi-Oh! You know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has parts that are cartoon and anime-like. That would be a perfect example. And moving on to modern CGI, again, realistic and photorealistic. I gave you examples, which I may have sort of painted the picture for you. But, for instance, with the realistic, you know, the idea is to make designs and characters that are, you know, you can believe in, that fall and feel full in a 3D space. Whereas photorealistic is the point of basically getting as close to seeming actual real human beings as close as possible. So, with that being said, why has it taken us so long to maybe come to this idea of this theory? Well, part of that reason is because, again, our world really has been segregated, to use a term, for most of entertainment's history. And I say that in the sense of before the internet and before the ability to easily see shows from different countries, we were very limited to the shows we watched. At some points, only shows that were created in our towns. You know, local channels, local, you know, I mean, really, up until, I want to say the late 80s when cable started to come in, you know, most people had very, again, they had, you obviously heard the stories from your grandparents, you know, back in my day, we only had three channels, and if the president was on, your night was screwed. But, you know, it's only up recently to when we've gotten not only cable, but also the internet, to where we can start watching shows from other countries. And because of that, we've now had an influx of culture, and more importantly, we can now see patterns that have followed not just in our animation, but in other people's animation that match ours, that match certain animation, and so on and so on. And unfortunately, there are some people that it's like, oh no, cartoons were American animation, anime was Japanese animation, and it's like, that's what they were told, that's what everybody's believed in for so many years. But the truth of the matter is, when anime first started coming over to America, the reason it was being called anime was not because it was the Japanese way of saying cartoon. It was basically how the people who owned the international English rights to this series that were having it made, that were bringing, they were trying to sell it to the cable companies as something different. You know, and what they kept hearing was the Japanese companies that they were buying it from calling it anime. Now, they were calling it anime because of its style. But they heard it said, oh, that's a cool word. And so, the international English licensors back in the late 70s, early 80s, would sell them to the cable company like, oh, this is Japanese animation. They call it anime. And that's what it was. It was a selling point. But now that we have the internet and we can see patterns and styles, we now recognize that it is a style that has influence. And there are American animes. American animes existed. In fact, I'm personally of the belief that the first modern day anime, not what created the anime style itself, because that was created, by the Japanese. The first generation of anime. That is really actually the first generation of anime actually would fall into the fusion category, because it really is. They're actually more cartoon when you look at the art style. The art style is more cartoon, but the stories are more anime. So they actually fall into that fusion category. But what I consider the first modern day anime is Walt Disney's Sleeping Beauty. Now think about it. Think about how detailed the art and the story in that series is. I mean, remember, this is a movie that basically made a story out of a fairy tale that's basically just a paragraph. I mean, the whole Sleeping Beauty fairy tale is basically a paragraph. And Walt Disney and his animators took that story and made a hour and a half movie out of it. And they fleshed out the characters. There was a lot of character development within the movie. And in the art, I mean, hell, the reason why it took 10 years for the movie to be made was because, the art was so detailed that it took like a week to do one frame. If you ever get a chance, watch the documentaries on Sleeping Beauty of them doing the art and having just to do a bush. A bush would take a week. But that was the first animation that had such realistic depth to it that, And again, we'll get further into anime because we're going to have individual episodes that talk about the individual styles within the techniques. But that was the first modern day anime. That influenced Japanese to increase their styles. And then that inspiration came back to American artists in the late 80s, which helped them redefine American animation with the golden revival, as I like to call it, of American animation, where you had things like Batman the Animated Series, all the Disney animated movies, which made so much money, even though they're not anime, but cartoons. But again, that influence of courage, as I call it, Animaniacs, Freakazoid, from 1986 to about 2004, the golden revival of American animation happened, as I like to call it, because there was really a time of just great animation coming out of our country. It's been down for a couple of years, and for reasons that I'll get to at later dates, but it's a very interesting history to see. With by the way, that will be the next episode. The next episode, which will hopefully come out sometime next month, we'll talk about the history of animation more. So, at the end of the day, what do I hope to accomplish with this podcast? Well, that's where the future comes in, because again, as I talked to you about before, there's a lot of misnomers about not just anime, though anime is the big one, but individual styles. You know, about these styles and what makes them, you know. It's still the idea that, oh, well, cartoons are made in America and anime is made in Japan. Because, again, that, for the longest time, that's what it thought it was. And because we didn't have the resource to see the patterns, you know, we couldn't make the judgment that, oh, wait, these things are the same. But again, that's what I hope to accomplish with this podcast. I hope to show you the patterns. I hope to show you the techniques. I hope for people to see in a larger area, you know, hopefully that, oh my God, there is this whole world of animation that I've been blinded to because I've been on this idealistic, you know, very strict, this is what animation is. And overall, that's what I want to do. You know, I just don't want to bring people to anime. I'd love for people to watch more anime. I don't necessarily want people to become anime fans, because that's not the point. You can be an anime fan, or you don't have to. It doesn't really matter. But there's so many wonderful anime out there that I think people don't give a chance to because of misnomers about anime and whatnot. But it's also animation in general. There's a lot of great stop-motion animation. I was just talking to an individual who told me, because I live near the Philadelphia area, that apparently at a Philly museum there is a gentleman who apparently has an exhibit where he shows the old World War II propaganda cartoons. You know, I find great enjoyment out of watching this stuff because this is our history. This is our culture. And more importantly, animation is such a great artistic entertainment property because within animation, you can do so much more than you can do in live action. There's stuff in animation that you're able to do with animation that you can't do in live action because you couldn't get away with it. It opens you up to whole new worlds that we can explore. And as I said, in recent years, I've felt animation has sort of gone down. The respect for animation, you know, has gone back down again to levels it was in the early 80s and the 70s. And it's just not as appreciated as we started to in the 90s. You know, Pixar is just burning out. CG, you know, let's just say Pixar and DreamWorks are just, like, spinning out CG after CG film. It seems like the only films we see are CG. And I'd love to see a return to traditional hand-drawn. Even if it is drawn on a computer like Princess and the Frog, it still keeps that original, you know, sort of soul that traditional hand-drawn style has. You know. And overall, that's what I hope to accomplish with this show. So, I hope you can understand my ramblings. I really hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I hope you guys find it more informative. Because really, that's what I want to do. I want to inform people. I want to teach. Not because people are horrible in that they have their opinions, like I said before, but because we can always learn. And personally, I find enjoyment in learning. I love talking and having discussions with people and learning new things. And I think everybody does. And that's what I hope to do. I hope we have fun learning. And I hope out of all this, we can have a new understanding and appreciation for animation. So thank you for joining me on this very first episode of Mice and Giant Robots. I will see you next time.